Section 4, The Story of the Lost Colonists. As you read, look for the first English attempts to settle North Carolina, scientific and artistic achievements of the Lane Expedition, the birth of the first native white North Carolinian, the mystery of the lost colony, and the following terms, colony, lost colony. July 13, 1584 might easily be considered the birthday of North Carolina. On that day, Englishmen first spied the shore they would call the goodliest land under the cope of heaven. The commanders of the two small ships sent by Raleigh, Philip Amadas and Arthur Barlow, held a ceremony to claim the land in the name of Queen Elizabeth. They found an inlet across the Outer Banks and dropped anchor in the sound that the Indians call Roanoke. The Englishmen rowed their small boats across the sounds and walked up and down the coast for more than 6 weeks, taking notes about how suitable the land was for settlement. They returned to England by autumn with notebooks, samples of plants, and two native people named Manteo and Wanchese. So happy was Queen Elizabeth about the expedition that she quickly named Raleigh a knight and allowed him to call the area Virginia, after her title as the Virgin Queen. Raleigh moved to set up a permanent English presence on the coastline. The Lane Colony. In the spring of 1585, Raleigh sent a second expedition to Roanoke. Richard Grenville commanded the ships, and Ralph Lane was sent to erect a fort for protection and settlement. In addition, two very talented men went along to learn more about the New World. Thomas Harriot was noted as a poet, a mathematician, and a scientist. He helped develop algebra and experimented with an early version of the telescope. Harriot spent almost a year on Roanoke recording his impressions and collecting plant specimens. Accompanying him was John White, an artist. White's watercolors of natives and their village life became some of the most significant pieces of art in early American history. Between Harriot and White, the Lane Expedition became one of the most important scientific journeys ever made. Much of their information is still stored and studied in British museums. While Harriot and White explored the sounds and the Outer Banks, Ralph Lane and about 100 soldiers built a base, which they called Fort Raleigh. England now had a colony, a group of people who settle in a distant land but are still under the rule of their native land, in what became North Carolina. Unfortunately, they caught a dose of the Spanish fever for gold and wasted a lot of time digging and searching for it without luck. They also fought among themselves and, soon after, antagonized the nearby natives. Eventually, lack of success and shortages of food pushed the English soldiers to violence. They murdered the local chief and killed a number of inhabitants in nearby villages. A year after its arrival, the Lane Colony was in peril, as the natives turned against them and the food supplies dwindled. In the summer of 1586, Francis Drake arrived with a small fleet of ships. Drake, the most notorious foe of the Spanish in the Caribbean, had just completed a successful raid on Spanish ports, taking away plunder and prisoners. Drake put in at Roanoke Inlet to replenish the Fort Raleigh soldiers. When a hurricane threatened, all the Englishmen decided to abandon Roanoke and head home. To make room for the Lane Company, Drake left behind a number of his prisoners, a mix of slaves and Europeans who had worked for the Spanish. Soon after Lane left, Richard Grenville arrived from England to resupply Fort Raleigh. Finding no one around, Grenville decided to sail to the Caribbean and, like Drake, plunder and pillage. He left 15 soldiers to guard Fort Raleigh. They, too, were never seen again. The White Colony. Despite the failure of the Lane Colony, Walter Raleigh was determined to continue English settlement. But this next time, Raleigh sent women and children with the soldiers in an attempt to make the natives think that better relations would follow. Since John White had been to Roanoke, he led the group of 110 settlers. Because Roanoke had proven to be unsuitable for settlement, the expedition aimed to land at the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay, where the deeper water allowed ships to go and come more safely. However, the pilot, Simon Fernandez, developed his own case of gold fever. He left White and the others at Roanoke and sailed toward the Caribbean. The settlement quickly ran into many of the same difficulties experienced previously. Despite the help of Manio, the colony ran short of supplies. White returned to England to bring back needed supplies. He left behind a new granddaughter, Virginia Dare, born August 18, 1587. Virginia Dare was the first baby born to English settlers in the New World and, in a sense, the first native white North Carolinian. John White did not return for 3 years. England was desperately defending itself from a major Spanish invasion. The Spanish Armada, one of the largest fleets ever assembled in Europe, was intended to end for all time any English threat to Spanish control of the New World. The Spanish, however, met disaster as leaders like Raleigh and Drake helped scatter the Spanish ships all over the seas surrounding the British Isles. White was finally able to return to Roanoke, and he arrived one day after Virginia's third birthday in 1590. No one was at Roanoke. White blew a trumpet to alert the settlers of his approach. He then sang silly English songs to show he was not a disguised Spaniard. Still, as he later reported, we had no answer. He was not immediately alarmed. Since Roanoke was such a bad location, the settlers had often talked of moving elsewhere, but they had promised that if they did move, they would carve their destination on a tree so White could find them. The settlers also promised to carve a cross above the name of their destination if they were in danger. White found two clues at Roanoke, both of which suggested the destination of the colonists. On one tree near the shore were the letters C-R-O. On a post near the gate was the word Croatoan. The letters referred to the village on Hatteras Island where Manteo lived, so White assumed the Roanoke colonists had gone there for safety. Neither had a cross above it. White wanted to go immediately to Croatoan, where he thought the refugees likely were, but the other members of his party had other ideas. Then a storm damaged their ship, and the season for hurricanes was approaching. White was forced to sail back to England without going the 50 miles to Hatteras to find his colony. No Englishman ever saw the Roanoke colony again. The fate of the lost colony. The missing Roanoke residents became known in North Carolina history as the Lost Colony. No one can pinpoint their exact fate. One early speculation was that the Spanish had raided the settlement, but no records ever appeared to prove this. It is possible that the nearby natives, who were still angry about the Lane colony, killed the colonists. White, however, found no evidence of violence, so the likely story is that the colonists did what they promised to do. They went to live with the Croatoans just as the message on the tree had said. They may well have been alive when White left for England. A century later, the natives who lived at Cape Hatteras told John Lawson that their ancestors could talk from a book. Some later moved inland to escape White settlements. They likely settled near the Cape Fear region on the Lumber River. In the 1700s, White settlers were startled to find that Indians living on the Lumber had blue eyes, built houses, and had English names. At one time, these Indians called themselves Croatoans and claimed the lost colony as their ancestors. In the 20th century, they took the name Lumbee, derived from the swampy river that is their homeland. There is one other known story about the possible fate of the Roanoke settlers. When the English came back to the New World in 1607 and established Jamestown on the Chesapeake Bay, their leader, John Smith, and others searched for the lost colony. Smith thought that the Roanoke residents may have attempted to move to the original destination, the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. Smith was told by several natives that some white people had come to the Chesapeake and lived among the tribes there. They had died of various causes. Some were caught in the middle of tribal wars. Others were murdered at the approach of the whites because the Native Americans expected to be punished for holding them in captivity. According to a record found in the British Record Office in London, the powerful Virginia chief Powhatan, most famous for being the father of Pocahontas, miserably slaughtered men, women, and children of the first plantation at Roanoke. There was also a story told that some were taken to Okeechobee to work in the Uwari mines there, but no one could prove that was true. The mention of children begs the question, what was the fate of Virginia Dare? Did she grow up to be a successful adult with a family of her own? Did she adopt the ways of the natives? No one knows. However, North Carolinians have never forgotten the story of the first European baby born in their state. The disaster at Roanoke kept the English away from what became North Carolina for more than 50 years. Only after the second attempt to create Virginia was successful did Europeans return to the area along the Outer Banks. In the 2010s, researchers have found a new clue about the settlers' fate. Under one of the two patches that were placed on top of a John White map, they discovered a mark at the western end of the Albemarle Sound. This location would have been a logical place for the Roanoke residents to hide from the Spanish. Archaeologists dug up the site, and sure enough, they found English pottery pieces and other items that dated to the 1500s. While it cannot yet be proven which people actually lived there, the find does give North Carolinians new hope that their greatest mystery may someday be solved. Special feature, Carolina People, Sir Walter Raleigh. Although the state capital is named for Sir Walter Raleigh, that English aristocrat never set foot on our soil. Raleigh was responsible for the three attempts to establish an English colony at Roanoke, and he was eager to find out about the fate of the lost colony. But he never came to look for himself. In fact, Raleigh only crossed the Atlantic once to lead a military expedition to South America. Although it is possible he spied the shore of Cape Hatteras from out in the Gulf Stream, no record suggests it. Raleigh rose to fame and temporary fortune by being part of the group of Englishmen who helped keep Elizabeth I on the throne in the 1570s. These men worked together to further their aims and those of the Virgin Queen. Elizabeth never married, but she and Raleigh were said to have flirted a lot. One famous story is that early in her monarchy, the Queen was walking down a street, and Raleigh spread his cloak over a mud hole to keep her dress clean. Raleigh later had the cloak drawn on his coat of arms to commemorate the incident. Elizabeth clearly cared about him. When he later fell in love with one of the Queen's ladies-in-waiting, she jealously threw him in jail. Raleigh helped Elizabeth conquer Ireland. She rewarded him with a huge plantation there. Raleigh is said to have introduced the potato, a plant native to South America, to Ireland while he was living there. The white flesh tuber is known to this day as the Irish potato. Raleigh's fortunes changed drastically when Elizabeth died in 1603. The new King James, of King James Bible fame, distrusted Raleigh and accused him of treason. He imprisoned Raleigh in the Tower of London. While there, Raleigh wrote The History of the World, a very ambitious work that was incomplete when he was beheaded in 1618. On the way to his execution, Raleigh, one of the best wits in England, looked at the axe held by the henchman and remarked, "This is sharp medicine, but it is a cure for all diseases." After his execution, Raleigh's head was embalmed and given to his wife, the former lady-in-waiting. She carried it almost everywhere she went for the rest of her life. Raleigh was regarded as one of the best poets of his day, as good at times as his contemporary, William Shakespeare. As was the custom of that day, there was a variety of spellings for words, including Raleigh's name. In fact, he never once is known to have spelled it the way North Carolinians do. He often preferred Raleigh, R-A-W-L-E-Y. Raleigh's last act was to create a custom that lasted a long time in England and America. Because he had been one of the first Englishmen to popularize tobacco, he asked to delay his execution until he had a last smoke. In this way, he helped establish the popularity for one of North Carolina's best-known products.